Well, good morning. Sorry about all the confusion there. Things are great when they work, and when they don't, it's not so great. So glad to be with you on this day where you can just feel the stirring of the Lord. Just feel the hunger rising in His people. You can just feel our appetites being directed towards Him. You feel our wandering hearts and eyes begin to lock gazes with the eyes of our Savior and say, I want in. I want more. I want to see it. I want to see it in my day. I want to see it. I don't want to just hear about the stories. I want to see it in my time. I want to see it in my day. I want to see it in my family. So I'm so thankful to be with a group of people that can even roll when we got a cord hanging in the middle of the aisle because stuff doesn't work right, and it flusters me, and you guys are just easy peasy. So thank you for rolling with that. We kind of got stuck, but in a good way. We got stuck on, you know, big surprise, right? Jim, pretty much the whole time we've been on the same scripture. I don't think we've advanced at all, but we've dug a lot out of there. We started a few weeks ago with what story are you telling yourself? Are you agreeing with God's story? Or is it the story that I'm telling myself, or the story that others are telling, or the story that the devil wants to tell you? Because that makes a difference. One of the most powerful quotes I heard this week was from an amazing woman of God. She said, I didn't even know that I could change the way that I think until I met Jesus. Some of you didn't get that. She said, I didn't even know that I could change the way that I think until I met Jesus. You can change the story that's playing in your mind, because if you don't get the right story, you're going to get the wrong results. You're going to react to things that you shouldn't be reacting to. You're going to go towards things you shouldn't be going towards. We've got to have the correct story. We need to get that from the Lord. Amen? And then we talked about being in the flow of grace, letting our actions in our lives not be dictated by what I think you're going to respond to that. Often my actions, what I do and what I say and how I feel, is predicated upon how I think you're going to react. Huh, right. And so I'm going to love you whether you snub me. I'm going to serve you whether you don't say thank you, right? Yeah. You know, like those kind of things. And we went to Luke chapter 6, I think it was, and we just talked about that. That might even be in the slide today. I'm so flustered now. I don't even know what's on here. And then we talked about last week, the Praetorian Guard. Talked about how Paul was able to thrive in that situation when people are out jabbering and trying to stir up trouble for him. He's able to thrive when he's chained to a handsome prisoner, right? When, yes, exactly. Judy said, amen, hallelujah. Hurry up and get this message done, right? So Paul is able to thrive in that situation because he believed the right story, right? He didn't fall into the trap of wrong thoughts. He was able to believe that because he's going to make the right decisions, not based on how other people are going to respond. He's just going to do the right thing. And then we found out that also that history that I didn't know, maybe you guys knew about, but I had no idea. I'm thinking he's just chained to a guard. Here he ends up being chained to the Praetorian Guard, which was notorious. They were called kingmakers. They were the most wealthy and influential group of people in ancient Rome. The desire of Paul's heart was to see the gospel spread around the world. Rome was the leading power in the world, and he ends up chained to the most elite group within that power. Oh my goodness. That's incredible. And so his chains became a channel for God to go and do what God needed to do. Your prison becomes a conduit when you are in line with when you're keeping your heart and your emotions right, when you're making the right choices, then it becomes an opportunity for God to move. And also, he became a catalyst. Not only was it a channel, but he became a catalyst. He was sparking revival. Your lives are sparking revival. So I've got one more thought on that whole chain. That was 3 weeks worth that just kind of came out of, it surprised me as I was digging into scripture. And I was telling Marnie last night, I said, that turned into something completely different. But I love when the Holy Spirit just kind of digs out some richness of the scripture. gives us some nuggets that we need for our lives. Amen? So today we're going to kind of put a punctuation point on those 3 weeks, on those thought, and then move on. We're moving on to new verses today, though. So this is kind of the last verse we finished up with, and because of this I will rejoice. And because of what? Paul is saying, well, some preach Christ out of rivalry and envy. Some preach Christ out of good motives. He said, but the important thing. See, he found the important thing in the middle of that. In the middle of the trials, guys, you've got to find the important thing, or you'll just get zeroed in on the trial and the tribulation and the struggle. You've got to find what's God speaking in the middle of this. Let God be God. Okay, so he zeroed in on that, and he said the important thing is that whether from false motives or pure motives, the important thing is the vision's going forward. The mission of Christ is going forward. The kingdom is going forward. So he was excited about that. So that's where we left off. That's why he was excited. And so I'm going to read through this, and then we're going to go forward today. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. If you haven't been here, we've been walking through Philippians. Paul is writing this book of Philippians from a jail or a house arrest, chained to a guard. And this is the letter that we're getting that he's writing to encourage the other people. So moving on, we're going to look at a verse here. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Say that with me. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Here's what Paul is saying here, right? He just got done saying, I found the important thing here, and I'm gonna rejoice because Christ is being preached, right? He's responding correctly to that. He's like, I'm not going to get sucked into, oh, they're treating me bad. They're trying to cause trouble. He's like, no, the one thing. I'm going to keep my heart in the right place, and I'm going to rejoice that Christ is preached. That's important. It doesn't matter that my reputation's getting defamed or they're making prison harder for me or whatever. He said, no, I rejoice because of that. But then it's like he stops. It's like he just pauses because he's writing this. Think about this, though. He's writing this letter chained to that Praetorian guard, that influential guard. And that guard's probably looking down when he's writing. He's writing this stuff. And I can just, we don't know this happened. I'm just imagining that this happened. That he's, as he's writing, yep, and I'm going to continue to rejoice. I rejoice because of this. And then he just stops and he hears the chains rattle and he looks over and he makes this declaration. Yes. 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 Have you guys ever been just in the middle of something and then you just stopped and you're like, wait a second, right? Paul's having a wait a second moment here. He's making a decision here. He's saying, yes. Yes. I'm making a decision right now. And as we see, it's going to be about his future. Yes. He's coming into agreement within himself about God's purposes and plans for his life. You see, you've got the power of agreement in you. What are you agreeing with? Hold on there, Santa Claus. You've got the power of agreement. God's given you authority and power to direct your life. You've got the power of agreement in your spirit. Where two or more are agreed on one thing, I should, right? Praying. You've got this power of agreement. You're taking this power of agreement and you're agreeing with things all the time. Now, this kind of harkens, that's why I said this is kind of a punctuation point for the last 3 weeks. This kind of harkens back to the right story. If you're agreeing with the wrong story, you've got this story playing out. Yeah, see, I told you you'd fail. You're never enough. You're never going to be enough, right? And you start agreeing with that. See, I told you they didn't like you. You see, when they didn't say hi and they walked away, right? See, I told you you weren't going to get that promotion, see, right? You got this story that you're crafting in your head. What are you agreeing with? You're saying, affirmative. Yep, I agree with that. And then your spirit tries to play that out. This is not trying to be all new agey mumbo jumbo stuff. We're talking about the word of God here. We're talking about coming into agreement with what God says over our life and then being obedient to that. But all the time we find ourselves coming into agreement. That's why you got to watch being negative and critical. Because you're coming into agreement with that spirit of death. Yep. Oh, yeah, this is bad. It's only going to get worse. Yep, it's going to be bad. It's going to continue to be. And everything else is going to, all right, okay, we're going to carry that out. Yes, sir, we've got our marching orders. Your emotions are going to line up with that. Your spirit's going to line up with that. The heavens are going to line up with that. We got to watch what we're saying. So Paul is just having this moment where he's saying, he's making this definitive, I'm about to decide something here. Parents, people, you ever just, okay, that's enough, and you just decided something? I can't, you know, come up here and try preaching once. So I'm trying to come up with these examples on the fly. Like a thought pops in your head, and you know it's of God. I'm like, ooh, I need an example to go with that. And then you just sit there. What is an example of that? Like, I know what I want to say, but these moments where you're just like, you've been kind of just going along with one thing, and then all of a sudden, that's it. Whether it's with your kids, you have crossed the line. I heard someone say last night, okay, or no, it was two nights ago. Listen, guys, because the boys were being a little rambunctious. So someone said, listen, boys, I do have a line. So the idea was, don't cross it. This is all fun and games until I decide enough. Here's what Paul's doing there, and this is not in a bad way. He's saying, enough. He's saying, I'm making a decision. You are not going to sway me from this point on. Yes, say yes. Yes, yes say yes. Yes. Come on, say it like you mean it. Yes. 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 And I will continue to rejoice. I will continue. I'm speaking words about an unknown future. Because I've found what I want to walk out in my life right now. Paul is saying this. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. He's saying this. I will not give away power and authority over my soul to some event in the future. I refuse to give control of my soul and my emotions to some random event that may or may not happen in the future. I refuse. Yes. I will continue to rejoice. Yes, I'm making that decision. He says, I will not depend on external sources to provide something that only God provides. He provides resolution. He provides joy. He provides my strength. I don't need the circumstances to look like I think they should look like for my response to be appropriate for that circumstance. They don't have to be the boss over me. I get to decide. Paul is saying this. He's saying, I can choose tomorrow's responses today. Well, Pastor, that's just crazy talk. No, that's reality. I get to choose. God's given me authority and power over my own spirit. I get to choose what I line up with. I get to choose what I agree with. I get to choose. Some of you have already decided on Friday that you're going to be grumpy on Monday. Look at your neighbor, say, that's you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. That wouldn't be anybody in here, would it? I mean, just, hey. Some of you have, you as you are weighing out that, well, I just know it's going to be like this, and I just know they're going to say that, and I just, you've already sold your soul to the future and given up all control. That just sounds ugly. I don't think they're with me anymore. Does that make sense? We do that, don't we? We prepare. We already kind of cultivate. I already know I'm going to get sucked into that. Well, you don't say it like that. We're self-righteous and indignant and arrogant, whatever. And not you guys. I mean, just, you know, me. But we talk like that, and then we get sucked right into the situation, and we have bad reactions. But you can decide today what your reaction is going to be tomorrow. Now this is good stuff. I mean, this is like pay money to go to a conference kind of stuff, right? This is counseling session kind of stuff. Like, this is the kind of stuff. This is like, anyone agree this is life-changing stuff? Hey, I don't care if you agree with it or not. This is good stuff. You don't have to buy into it. This is good stuff. Like, I mean, it's up to you if you're on board or not. This is good stuff. This will change your life kind of stuff. Paul is saying, no, I'm going to continue to rejoice. I have decided to rejoice. I was going to bust into the... To follow Jesus. Yep. I have decided. Okay. Paul also is saying, I can expect the grace of God to flow into my life when I choose to walk in obedience to him. expect that flow of grace. As I'm not dependent on you to pat me on the back or say, oh, I like you too. Or like, no, I'm going to serve and love you. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to carry this kind of attitude within me. And it doesn't matter what you do. It affects me what you do, but it doesn't matter. It's important, but it's not. It doesn't matter. My choices is still my choices. Yes. Yes. And I will, yes to this, no to that. See, then I don't have to be like, that was so like 90s or 80s, talk to the hand, right? That was like a long time ago. We don't have to be standoffish. We don't have to be, now I'm not talking about setting healthy boundaries because that's good. But you don't have to be, you don't have to have an emotional wall then to deal with the stuff because you've already decided by the grace of God. When I choose to treat people how I'm supposed to treat people, when I choose to think how I'm supposed to think according to the Word of God, then there's this flow of grace. And it matters. It still hurts my heart when you are mean to me or whatever, but it doesn't make a difference how I treat you now. I'm in that flow of grace. Paul's saying, yes, I'm going to continue to rejoice. I'm going to continue. Tomorrow? Next day? But Paul, you don't know. You might be chained here 3 weeks from now. Yep. Yes. 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 Just making sure you're not sleeping. Here's a couple things that I know to be true. We almost always overestimate the truth of what our emotions are saying. Come on, somebody with me? We almost always overestimate the truth and the reality of what our emotions are telling. We overestimate them. Doesn't mean that they're not legit. It doesn't mean that they're not maybe trying to, your soul is trying to analyze the situation. Doesn't mean that maybe bad things aren't happening or things that didn't meet my expectations. But listen, we overestimate the truth of what they're saying to us. We overestimate that almost every time. And we almost always underestimate the power of our spirit to choose to obey and walk how God desires us to walk. We weight our emotions so heavily, and we weight the power of our response so lightly. And so I wrote it like this. I was trying to get out of my heart what I was feeling. In our walk with Christ, we often try to feel our way into obeying Jesus and serving him daily. Does that resonate with anybody? None of you guys have ever done that. You guys are just instant obedient. That's great. It's not that we disagree with the Word of God intellectually. We just don't feel it, so we find it difficult to obey God. If it hurts, it's because it's good. If it doesn't hurt, you're superhuman. That's all I'm saying. Like, if you're not experiencing, if there's not a twinge of this, you either are apathetic and you just don't care, you're not paying attention, or you're superhuman. That's all I'm saying. Because we often, oh man, I'm so excited for devotions tomorrow, right? I feel like doing them. What happens on the day that I don't feel like doing them? What happens on the days that I feel like God didn't come through for me? What happens on the, see what I mean? It's easier for me to feel my way into walking for Jesus, and that's great when I'm feeling like it. But what about when I'm not feeling like it? So we overestimate what our emotions are telling us, how much truth is in that. And we underestimate my ability to respond regardless of what my emotions are telling me. We underestimate that. We underestimate that I can choose joy. I can choose, what do you mean? So you're feeling happy? No, I didn't say that. I'm choosing joy. See, the Holy Spirit's in me. If you're following Jesus, he's in you. The fruit of that relationship looks like joy. I can choose that. I can choose peace. So you're expecting things to calm down? No, they probably are going to get worse. But I can choose peace in the middle of that. I can choose that. Can I, Jeff? I can choose that. It's a really, really easy choice. No, it's not. It's not at all. It's a hard choice. It's a difficult choice because I'm overestimating what my emotions are telling me. I'm believing, believing that to be true. And help is good. Man, we need each other. We need someone to come alongside of us, put their arm around us, knock us on the head. Doop, doop. Hey, what you're feeling right now, I sense that you're not analyzing the situation correctly. I'm not saying this isn't real and it's not even legit, but we can't live by that. And someone to come alongside of us and just say, hey, how about this? I think we need to go this direction, or pray for us. I can choose to serve. Yeah, but I'm always the only one doing it and no one appreciates it. Come on, any moms in the house, right? But I can choose that. I underestimate my power of choice that God has given me. It's this prophetic stewardship of my soul and spirit. We're to be good stewards. He's given us that authority. I can choose to love. I can choose to forgive. I can choose to forgive. I can choose to not be bitter. Now, someone might need to walk me through and unravel wounds and junk from the past.
You remember boundaries earlier?
You're crossing a line. Yeah. Yeah.
Choosing to not be bitter or forgive.
Yes. 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 We want to choose life, not death. Choose life. Choose life. But it's so hard. Yeah, it is. So is death. It's hard too. Choose life. Yeah, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't feel like I've forgiven. Forgiveness is a choice. Feelings show up later. Come on. Love is a choice. Feelings show up later. I don't feel like loving him right now. Woke up with Marnie yesterday morning. As I do. As I do often on a lot of mornings. Most mornings, in fact. Telling you guys, trying to come up with these examples. I'm just saying. And I just said, what did I said, man, I love waking up with you. Yeah, I love waking up with you. I love, and she said, responded, it's a privilege, isn't it? She did. I am not lying to you. I am not embellishing. That is the 100% truth. But that's what you said. She said, "But I meant not me. I meant like waking up together. Like it's a mutual enjoyment, blessing." Oh, well, I'm not Paul Harvey, right? So there's those moments where we often, and we, you know, when we're doing our young couples or marriage counseling or whatever, I mean, we're pretty open about this stuff. And there's just, that was one of those moments where we probably both were a little teary-eyed and glistening. And we're like, man, this is such a joy, such a privilege. And then there's those moments where, oh dear Jesus, I have one more second with that man, I'm gonna kill him. And in those moments, you can choose love, can't you, dear? You can choose love. We underestimate the truth of what our emotions are saying, and we overestimate that, and we underestimate our power of choice. We get so paralyzed by what I feel. In our walk with Jesus, Holy Spirit says this, we say yes. Okay, I'll do that. Often we wrestle with it and say, well, God, I don't really feel that. I don't know. No, just do it. Just do what God says. Just follow and obey. There's a blessing in that. I'm not going to read this whole thing. This is the grace and favor from, and that's really just what this is talking about. There's, if people respond good back to you, what grace and favor is that to you? What credit is that? What flow of grace is that in your life? But when you choose to do what God wants you to do, even when they're going to respond poorly, bless God. Bless God. Bless God. All right, we're moving on. You guys are still with me? Okay. All right. Thank you. We're going to try to get, I don't know if we'll have time today, but try to get two more verses. We're going to read this. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Okay, we just went through that. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I'm going to read this in two other versions here. And so that's the next two slides. It's the same verse, actually verse 19, says this. Because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers And the help from the Spirit of Jesus. And help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. One more. For I know that this will turn out to me for deliverance through your prayer and support of the Spirit of Jesus. Your prayer and the provision, help, and support of the Spirit. Paul in this situation. Okay, Philippians, the Philippian church. See, we get kind of all glossy-eyed because this is the Word of God, and it is. Every single jot and tittle, every bit of it is the Word of God. But these were real people. Okay, the Philippian church was a real bunch of people that met in a church like we meet in a church. You know, a little different back then, but like they had jobs, they had families, they had doubts, they had fears, they had hopes, dreams, struggles, frustrations. And so here's what Paul is saying. This is Paul, and we're 2,000 years removed. So we're like, Paul is this, you know, superhero kind of man. Paul was a real guy just like you and just like me that leaned heavily upon the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he needed to do. And so Paul's writing to these people. He's in this precarious situation, yet the Word of God is going forward. He's excited about that, and yet he's expecting something to happen. And the vehicle through which that will happen for Paul, the spreader of the gospel in the known world, the superstar apostle, the way that that is about to happen, the vehicle through which Paul's deliverance and salvation is about to come is through the prayers of the Philippian church. Paul has no problem hinging his future success upon your prayers. Well, you should probably have like a trained prayer team. Yeah, training's great. You should probably have like some special like prayer warriors. Yeah, or the Philippian church. The success of taking the gospel from here out of these chains into the known world hinges obviously on God, the power of the Spirit. But he's saying it hinges on your prayers. Anyone ever felt like your prayers aren't enough? I just don't know what to say. I don't know that my prayers are good enough. I feel like I need, like, there's moments where we all feel like we need some superstar prayer. But I tell you what we need. We need the body of Christ that prays for one another. Come on, hear me, church. We need the body of Christ that prays together, prays for one another, and sees the kingdom of God move. Paul is saying my salvation and deliverance are going to come from the power, help, and support of the Holy Spirit and from your prayers. They're coming from your prayers. My future's hanging on your prayers. My destiny is hanging on your prayers. The balance of what God is about to do in and through me in this life, in Rome and the leader of the known world, hinges on what you are praying as you lay down to sleep tonight. It hinges on what you pray on a prayer night at church. It hinges on your prayers. You guys, you. Right? Crazy. Whose deliverance and salvation right now is hanging in the balance waiting for your prayers? Whose freedom and life in Christ is ready to be plucked out from your prayers? Well, Pastor, you're a good prayer. You pray. No, your prayers. Your prayers. Your prayers. Look at somebody, say your prayers. Your prayers. No, that also means yours too. Your prayers. The provision, the help, the support of the Spirit, absolutely. But your prayers. We need your prayers. We need your prayers. Come on, church. Be a praying church. Be a praying church. Be a praying church. Are you just itching to say something? Okay. Come quick.
I have an example. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Lowell Lundstrom, but he was saved here in Sisseton, had a pretty huge evangelistic ministry, right? The story of him coming to Christ is because he was in a rock band and was the next big thing. Like they expected him to be like Elvis, like kind of that type of notoriety. And the church saw one of the flyers and posters hanging around town. And the church decided to pray for their salvation. The church decided to pray for his salvation. And he ends up having a girlfriend that was in a church and said he would go to church with her and got gloriously saved and quit the team, much to the chagrin of the rest of the team, because they were headed somewhere, and ended up bringing his family in the next, you know, time that there was an opportunity, and they were all saved. And he literally and Larry have gone on to win, I don't even know how many people to Christ over the years. Larry has been on the road for 55 plus years. So however many, the church prayed. The church prayed. These were not people that really knew who they even were. You know, it wasn't like, oh, well, that's my aunt, uncle, whatever, you know, friend. No, random someone out there and said, no, we're going to pray for their salvation.
Amen. The church prayed. The church prayed. Another little nugget we're going to pick out of this section of scripture. Some versions say deliverance. You know, I know this is all going to work out through your prayers and the power of the Holy Spirit for my deliverance. Other versions will say, well, I know that through the support of the Holy Spirit and your prayers, it's going to work out for my salvation. And theologians really agree that you translate the word one way, salvation, it means I'm probably not getting out of here and I'm probably going to die, but the Lord has the final word and I'm going to be in his presence. Deliverance would mean I'm going to get out of this prison. And theologians argue which word it should be, because that word can mean both things. And I was listening to a guy who really enjoyed that Paul picked this word, because he's saying, you know what, if I get out of here, fantastic, I'm planning on getting out of here. But if I don't, I'm in his presence. If I don't, your prayers and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to do something while I'm still here, and then I'll be in the presence of Jesus. Whichever way that I'm saying yes, I've already chosen how I'm going to live my life. Do you know the power and the freedom in that? I've already chosen to be humble. I've already chosen to serve. I've already chosen to forgive. I've already chosen to love. And your prayers are having an effect, and the power of the Holy Spirit is helping me. But one way or the other, I know I'm going to serve him well. One way or another, I know this is going to turn out. And he says this, I eagerly expect and hope that I'll no way be ashamed. Guys, we're in verse 20. We made it. I don't know if we'll get through it, but we made it. Small victories, Jim. Small baby steps. But I'm going to have sufficient courage so that now, as always, you see, there's that glint of the future. Now, as always, now as in the future, now like one and done. I have decided. So that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I'll have courage. You guys, your courage is directly tied to what your imagination is playing out. That's why the story part is so important. You often will get what you expect. And God's given us this imagination and these minds to dream up scenarios for building. But we use them, because they're fallen, sin affected our life, we use them to create scenarios of our own demise. When we agree with the wrong stories, then we play out these imaginations in our head. Anyone ever had a movie running in your mind and it was just terrible, right? And it was not good for you. You were the star of it and it wasn't good. Nobody? A couple of you? Okay. That's happened to me a lot. And we use our creative power to expect, right? And then he has hope that Jesus is going to make it, so that as always, Christ will be exalted. And that's that word before that could went for salvation or could be for deliverance. That as always, Christ is going to be exalted. Your prayers are helping Christ to be exalted in my life. The Holy Spirit is helping Christ to be exalted. So here's the question today. What is being exalted in your life? Well, it was a lot better when it was on the page of Scripture, Pastor. I like it when we're talking about Paul. Can we go back to talking about Paul? I don't like talking about me. The question today is, what is being exalted in your life? I don't know. I don't know what that word means. Oh, glad you asked. It means to make great or to magnify. Well, George, what's getting blown up? What's getting magnified? What's getting larger in your life? What's getting bigger? Is it the glory of God, or is it something else? We've all heard things like, my impatience is growing, right? My frustration is growing. Is that what's being magnified? What else does magnified mean? It means to make conspicuous. We're just about done with the message, but I got to do one. We did the chains and the guard last time. I'm going to show you what conspicuous is. Conspicuous. Here's conspicuous. Here's my daughter Callie trying to sneak snacks. And you know what that is to us? It's conspicuous. It's conspicuous. It's out of place, and it's, right? It's a booger on the end of your nose. It's conspicuous. It's conspicuous. So exalted is something that's conspicuous. What's conspicuous in our life? Is the goodness of God conspicuous in my life? It's out of place. Oh, I see it. Or is it my grumbleina? Right? Is it my attitude? Is it, like, what's growing? What's conspicuous? It means to deem or declare great. Like, what am I declaring is great in my life? Is it the intervention of God? Is it his character and nature? Or is it, am I declaring other things are great? And other things are great, but what's the number one great thing? It means to esteem highly, to extol, to laud, to celebrate. What am I celebrating in my life? Is that the core of my celebration? Is it Jesus? Paul is saying that Christ would be exalted, exalted, exalted. That Christ would get glory and praise. What's getting glory and praise in my life? Is it my own hard work? Is it my own creativity? I'm so, you know, man, I'm so smart, I'm so good, I'm so faithful, I'm so whatever. Or is it by the grace of God, he's helped me to be faithful, he's helped me to be whatever it is. What's getting the glory and praise in my life? Last slide for today. Last one. That Christ will be exalted in my body. That When you interact with someone, you interact with the whole them. But the first thing that you are presented with, the way that you know someone else is the room is their body shows up first, right? Like, it's them. Like, you see, oh, nice shirt, you know, whatever. Like, oh, hey, did you get a haircut? Like, we notice people's bodies. So you bring with you your soul and spirit. You bring with you your attitudes. You bring with you, you know, your burdens. You bring all that stuff with you. But I think what Paul is saying here, that Christ will be exalted in my body, in this physical body, not just in my spirit. Oh, I love God on the inside, that outwardly, that my first contact with people, the part that people see, that he's going to be exalted, that he's going to be lifted up. That Jesus would get the center place in my life. That when people see me, they wouldn't think of, oh, he's that one guy that does this, or he talks funny, or he's silly, or he's angry, or he's a race car driver, or he's a pastor. But the first thing that when people see me, my body, when they see me, they go, that guy loves Jesus. And that Jesus gets lifted up. That's the first thing that people know about me, I think, is what Paul is saying. So thank you for hanging with me today and following through. And sorry about us. We'll see if we can fix our technical problems this week. And I just want to pray and we'll be done for the day. But just believing that God is giving us some tools to live more victorious lives, lives that look like Jesus, lives that look like beautiful obedience towards him, serving him well as he's stirring our hearts. Amen? Let's pray. Bless you, Lord, for this group of people. I pray that your presence would pursue us and that our hearts would in turn pursue you back, God. Give us a taste of your glory, God. Help us to see what is so unseen often, what we miss. Help us to understand that you have such great things for our life. Lord, we bless you this morning. We give you praise for all the miracles, for all the praise reports, for all the beautiful things that are happening in our lives. Thank you, God, for moving in our midst. We ask for more of it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.